going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Browns drafted Shedeur Sanders. Have you heard about this? Have you seen about this? Have you heard about this? And six other guys. I assure you, this is the most we've ever talked about a fifth-round pick to lead the post-draft recap and to continue that conversation. We head out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. He's been with us all draft season long, nailing it every Monday at 4, NFL draft college football analyst for A to Z Sports, host of the Ruffino and Joe Show, the great Joe DeLeon joins us. Joe, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good, but definitely better than Browns fans and you guys trying to navigate the craziness. In all seriousness, it's a serious question. Could there have been a more dramatic weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, for this draft? You traded away the chance to take the most prolific player that we've ever seen, a corner and receiver, and Travis Hunter, and then you take Shedeur Sanders later on. I'm blown away that the Browns managed to command the headlines the way that they did this weekend.
I mean, this is kind of par for the course for us.
Yeah,
buddy.
This is like standard. This is like you've just seen our Thursday through Monday, Joe. Congratulations.
It's not the Cleveland Super Bowl for nothing, Joe.
Fair. Fair point.
All right, so let's start big picture. How do you feel about the Browns draft in general?
I think that, like, I've been thinking about this all day in anticipation for this spot of, I can't really wrap my head around it entirely, because if I just look at it from like a 50-foot view and I just look at it on a piece of paper, I see a really good draft class. I see you getting one of the best defensive tackles that have come out in the last 5 years in Mason Graham, who has the potential to be as disruptive as Aaron Donald. That is his ceiling. And I've said that many times during this pre-draft process. He's extremely gifted. Carson Schwessinger is a great athlete, the linebacker from UCLA. His eyes are a little inconsistent, but he's a former walk-on who has gotten better year over year. He could be one of your better defenders in a couple of seasons. Quinshon Judkins fits the exact identity. You're getting an Ohio State guy. You're going to be able to lean on him in the run game, and you pair him with Dylan Sampson, who plays off of him so well as a space killer with great pickup speed. Last one that I really liked, Harold Fannin, was a really nice selection that they had out of Bowling Green. The value that they got with him picking him in the third round is pretty strong, and he's a guy that you can use as a really quality second tight end alongside David Njoku, who you can rotate, you can move him all over your offense, you can line them up in different orientations and create confusion for opposing defenses. But we have to talk about the fact that the Browns traded out of a spot to take Travis Hunter, and you now have a lot of pressure on that pick that you're getting from the Jaguars. Assuming they don't make the playoffs, you better hope that that pick next year ends up turning out to be a quality starter and Mason Graham lives up to the hype and doesn't need to be as good as Travis Hunter. But he better be a really, really impactful player, a Pro Bowler. Otherwise, you just traded away a chance to have one of the most highly talked about guys for the next decade. And then, of course, there's the Shedeur Sanders drama of taking two quarterbacks, which is just beyond perplexing and confusing. I know that this is something that we're going to probably hear about and talk about and break down the entire offseason. But those two things take away a little bit for me what could have been an amazing draft class for the Browns.
You are our draft expert, and you are the draft community in my mind. You and your friends, your draft community friends. How do you guys explain what happened with Shador? Is it just a matter of being so far off with your evaluation relative to the NFL and the people that actually make the decision, or is there more at play here, Joe?
I think that there's more at play. I find it very, very hard to believe that the NFL was this low on him compared to every single draft analyst, Todd McShay, Mel Kiper, Dean Brugler. Everybody was in agreement on Shador Sanders that he wasn't, except for Mel Kiper, who thought that he should have been the first quarterback taken. Everybody kind of thought he was worthy of going in the first round this year because the quarterback class was bad. And I think that the NFL looked at him in the same light as they looked at Jackson Dart, Tyler Shuck, those two guys that had some upside, but if they don't pan out, they end up being really good backups. I think that the projection was a player who could contribute, could take over the starting role, like a Kirk Cousins type of a player, a Derek Carr, a Jimmy Garoppolo, those types of prospects, and at the very least, if they're not capable starters, you end up having one of the better backups in the league. I think that that is how the NFL viewed it. And there was a general consensus across the board that that's how it was. Maybe you move up and you take them somewhere in the first round because there's just so much scarcity at the position this year. You need some type of a solution. I think he fell as far as he did, and we've seen this happen many times over with quarterbacks or just players in general who weren't starting caliber and were distractions. I think that NFL teams not only were rubbed the wrong way by him in some meetings, I believe some of the rumors that have come out, the way that he came off, I think that they might have actually done it deliberately to sway some teams away, but it blew up in their face. And I don't think teams wanted to have to deal with the constant headlines for a guy that is going to be their backup quarterback. The last part about this, and something that I've been thinking about that it really does, I believe, factor into this, these pre-draft meetings, you're trying to see how a guy is going to handle under pressure. You're trying to crack them. If you're interviewing for a very intense job in an intense field, they will do this to you because they want to know, can you handle everything that is going to be on your shoulders? I can't think of, or let me rephrase, I don't imagine that anybody since high school, anyone has yelled at Shador Sanders that is not his dad. His dad was his coach in high school, at Jackson State, at Colorado. And I think NFL teams are uncertain if he can handle not having his dad there to protect him, not having his dad to protect him in the media rooms after games. I think all of these things prevented teams from just saying, we don't want to, this is too much of a headache, we're wasting too much energy on this, we are just going to move on, we're going to take somebody else.
Joe DeLeon on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Joe, I hated the Dylan Gabriel pick. Still don't care for it much. What are the Browns getting in the left-handed Oregon geriatric quarterback?
I actually was a decent fan of Gabriel, and for where you took him at the end of the third round, it was a little earlier than I was comfortable with. But I thought that Dylan Gabriel was the type of guy that could stick on an NFL roster for a very long time as a backup. I think that his arm is stronger than people realize. And then you see small, compact guy that kind of roams around in the pocket the way that he does. You're assuming it's going to be a player who can't generate any force with the ball, but he can sling it better than people anticipate. He's got some pretty good touch timing with his throws. I just think now, outside of like his talent, which made him a great backup, I have no idea if he makes the roster. I don't think that there's any value in keeping two quarterbacks. I wonder if maybe this is a guy, if he does really well in the preseason, if somebody doesn't go and trade for him. And if I'm Dylan Gabriel, I'm just putting my head down. I'm going to work. I am avoiding the distractions, and I'm hoping that that happens. But I agree with you. I didn't love the pick for the Browns quarterback needs, because right now you've got a bunch of backup quarterbacks, so you're just throwing another backup into the mix. And now you have this weird, awkward, uncomfortable situation between him and Shador Sanders.
Joe, when the Buckeyes got ready to take on Tennessee in the playoff game, Dylan Sampson was the highlighted player to a high, high level. Like, Nico is obviously a highly projected quarterback for this upcoming year's class in 2026, but no one was scared of Nico. Everyone was scared of Dylan Sampson, SEC Offensive Player of the Year. His numbers speak for himself. What about him, though, did people feel would translate and then wouldn't translate that ended up having him go in the fourth round?
You know, what doesn't translate, first of all, is just the simple nature of the offense he was playing in. When you pull up his tape, he's running through these dump truck-sized lanes that Josh Heupel schemed up, and he's brilliant at creating these big, massive rushing lanes, and that was why Samson was so productive this year. But Samson's athleticism, his speed, his acceleration helped him take advantage of that. I think that there's some concerns of what his vision is like. I think there's some concerns of his just overall ability to withstand contact. We saw him go down in the college football playoff game against Ohio State that you just mentioned there. I think for his value towards the middle end of the fourth round where he went is perfect for him. And most importantly, him being paired with Quinshon Judkins is great. So the Browns here are getting a guy that they can throw screen passes to, that they can throw swing routes to, bring him in on third down. Early downs, you can run a lot of outside rushing concepts with him and try and get him into space to get picking up speed and break away. Having the bruiser and Quinshon Judkins, and then now having the speedster to play off it, I think both these guys could be tremendously productive in the next 4 or 5 years for the Browns.
Joe, looking kind of across the board here with all seven picks there, if you could redraft one spot from who they took to who went like right after them, is there an...
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Obvious pick that you would point out and say, like for instance, Charles Grant instead of Dylan Gabriel. Not that I have one specifically.
I'm a very big Charles Grant fan, by the way. I really, really love Charles Grant. I think that he is going to go on to become a developmental high upside starter. He is so fluid. He is so easy moving. I think that he has some of the most unique abilities. And I think that that is a very good one to bring up, that you passed up on him to take Dylan Gabriel. You could have had a development offensive lineman with offensive line questions for the future. There's two guys that come up with the Harold Fannin pick. I think Fannin was a fine player, but when you already have David Njoku, the fact that you're passing up on Azariah Thomas or Siobhan Revelle at corner. I know corner is not like a huge, huge need for this team, but Siobhan Revelle, if it wasn't for an injury that he suffered this year and him playing at a lower level, he has the potential to become a Pro Bowl caliber player. He is unbelievably gifted. He's got some rare movement skills. He is so fluid and easy moving. And then the other, looking at the receivers that ended up coming off the board after that pick, I'm a little bit perplexed that you end up going with Harold Fannin and you don't take a swing on a Jalen Knoll from Iowa State. I think that you would have gotten much more production and impact out of a guy who would have started for you in the slot, who would have, especially after passing up on Hunter early on, you get a guy who's very similar to Steve Smith, very physical, likes contact, is going to always come down with the football instead of trying to figure out ways to get a second tight end onto the field. They better be willing to get Harold Fannin in there often. Otherwise, there's a couple of receivers, including Knoll, that make me scratch my head why they passed up on him.
What are your thoughts about taking off-ball linebackers at 33 overall?
I don't mind it. There were actually some rumblings that Schlesinger was capable of going in the first round. There is a lot to like with this kid, and him coming from being a former walk-on to making the jump and flying all over the field. If he went to the combine, we would have been freaking out. The draft analysts like myself would have been oohing and aahing at the crazy numbers he would have put up. I think that that's where you typically should take a linebacker. I think that the modern era, you shouldn't take a linebacker in the first round unless they are a Jahad Campbell type, where they are just insanely, insanely athletic and they're a wrecking ball and they're a game changer. But I think that where they took Schlesinger, it is a smart spot, especially needing to find a little bit more athleticism and a little bit more youth at that position.
All right, Joe, looking around the NFL here, looking around the AFC North, what do you think? Actually, let's go to the AFC North specifically. What do you think of the drafts of the three other teams in the AFC North, Cincinnati, Baltimore, and Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I think that consistently we always talk about every single year the Baltimore Ravens managing to completely rob everybody that they're going up against in these drafts. Them landing Malachi Starks is very scary. It was one of my favorite picks of this draft that he ended up with the Ravens. Him playing alongside Kyle Hamilton is going to create the craziest and most cerebral, dynamic safety duo in the NFL. And then them landing Mike Green and kind of bypassing some of those character concerns and getting great value because he slid as far as he did in the second round at pick 27 was a really good spot. I thought that the Steelers draft class was good, minus the fact that they were stupid and not trying to go after some sort of a quarterback early. It seems like, and from what I've heard, they believe that they can get Rodgers to sign, or they're going to try and trade for Kirk Cousins. If not, they are in a very, very tough situation. But Derek Harmon is such a Steelers pick. He can play either nose for them. He can play in that 3-4 defensive end role for them. Caleb Johnson is going to be super productive. And then offense, another player that just feels like a Pittsburgh Steeler. And then the Bengals, I thought, just did a really good job of understanding their identity at the current moment. They understood that their defense is a liability, so they just grabbed as many athletes as possible to fill in those needs. Shamar Stewart, freak athlete, awful production in college, didn't get molded by Al Golden and turned into a more better player. Demetrius Knight, older linebacker prospect, but he flies all over the field. He had unreal testing numbers and is just like a throwback middle linebacker who's just going to blast you at the line of scrimmage if you get in his way. And then lastly, Barrett Carter, who's another linebacker that they took. They just needed athletes, and they were able to accomplish that. I think that this year, more than any year, all the draft classes for most teams were kind of like in that E range, and I think the same could be said for most of these AFC North teams.
Have you already got your 2026 class published and figured out and all ready to go?
We published this morning on the A to Z Film Room channel a 2026 mock draft. So yes, we are already ahead, and I'll give you guys a little bit of juice here. So last year, I predicted Cam Ward was going to be the first overall pick at the end of April. I said that immediately after the draft ended. My pick this year, I think Cade Klubnik's Clemson is going to be next year's first overall pick. I really, really think that he's got the goods. He's playing for a premier program. Clemson's going to be in the national championship hunt this year, and he's got that processing and five-star talent. If he takes a step forward with a good offensive coordinator and good receivers, could have an amazing, amazing year.
I mean, Clemson orange to brown and orange. The transition's pretty simple there. Joe, you've killed it all draft season long with us, buddy. You've been consistent. You've never shirked on us. Every Monday, 4 o'clock, you've killed it, as you always do. Just want to say one more time how great you've been, how much we appreciate your time over the last 4 months, buddy.
Of course. It means a lot, guys. And I'm glad that we got to do this every single week. It's always been something I look forward to. And I'm looking forward to seeing what happens with the Browns here. There's plenty of potential. And hopefully this year ends up being a promising one. And maybe next draft cycle, when you guys book me again, hopefully we're talking about turning into a playoff team rather than picking first overall.
We'll see. Joe, appreciate you, buddy.
Thanks, Joe.
I love the spin, but I mean, at this point,
he's
I'm kind of hoping.
He's going to open Shador, clearly.
Until Shador, Dylan Gabriel pull the sword from the stone, I want that number one pick, be it Cade Klubnik, Lenora Sellers, or any other quarterback. Joe Daly on there on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We'll react to what he had to say about the Browns draft class. Are the Browns more the winners or the losers of this draft? That's coming up in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.